We have a 4-year-old and we have a 1-year-old, as many of you know. The past several months, we have been asked the question by our 4-year-old, when is it going to be Christmas? And he just keeps asking, how much longer until it's Christmas? And so it's been, well, it's going to be a couple more months. And in his mind, that doesn't, I might as well just have said, like, he doesn't understand what a couple more months is. But as it's gotten closer, we have been saying it'll be 1 week from today. And then we go through the song of Monday, Tuesday. And I'm not going to sing it for you, but he kind of is getting it. In the last couple days, it's 2 more days. Okay, not tomorrow, but the next day. And then yesterday, this is Christmas Eve. So he was all excited that it was Christmas Eve. And explaining to him that means that tomorrow's Christmas. And the joy for him of waking up this morning to find out that it's Christmas. The next several weeks will consist of, when is it going to be Christmas again? How much longer until it's Christmas again? And we do the same thing for birthdays. And yet there's just a joy that's there. And for Natalie, it wasn't as exciting. She was more excited about the paper than the actual gift that was underneath it. But for Jonathan, he would open the present and, you know, you'd give it to him, and we did this morning. We raced to open presents before church, and he would tear off, you know, a little strip of paper and then say, "What is it?" and he would tear up a little bit more, "What is it?" And just keep going until he got to the place where he finally could see it is a lightsaber, a Star Wars lightsaber. So exciting for him to be able to, it's a real one, it's red on Darth Vader. And you look and just this incredible joy of being able to see the gift that he got. And I think of just the history of the world. And that's what God has done for us. You think of God creating man in his own image. Think of the fall that took place. Immediately, Adam and Eve are hiding themselves. And God says, "Where are you?" And they are hiding. They're covering themselves with these leaves. And God comes and sees them. "Who told you that you were naked?" He goes from there to take animals, and he kills them. He makes tunics for them. And it's the first part of the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. The first part of the gift that he was given, that man was given, that we were given. See, in their minds it was, if you eat of the fruit, you'll surely die. And they did die spiritually. But there was a gift that was given as far as, I'm going to clothe you with these animal skins. A gift that was given saying, from the seed of the woman, the serpent's head is going to be crushed. And these promises that were given from there, we began this series five studies ago and looked at how Adam and Eve, they heard that promise from the seed of the woman that the serpent's head is going to be crushed, to where they have their first baby, Cain, and they name him Cain. Here he is. He's the one. Right after the promise was given, Adam named his wife Eve, meaning mother of all living, even though she hadn't had a child yet. Because all that they were thinking of is from the seed of the woman, the serpent's head is going to be crushed. And it wasn't Cain. But the lineage continued as we looked at. We saw it with Seth, Noah, Shem, all the way down till you come to Christ. And God started revealing more and more to his people what that gift looked like. Telling them that they were to sacrifice these lambs for the forgiveness of sins. A lamb without spot or blemish or anything, that they were to sacrifice these lambs. You see pictures that are there of Abraham offering up Isaac, and at the last minute, God stopping him, saying God will provide himself a lamb. This picture of the Messiah that was to come, this promise that was given, to where the people were getting these little pictures of the gift, tearing off a little bit more, and they would see a little bit more of this precious gift, a little bit more of what was going to take place with Christmas. We looked at all of these things that have been foretold far before it ever happened. That he'd be born in Bethlehem, that he'd be born of a virgin, that kings would bring gifts to him, that he would be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. There would be one that would come to prepare the way for him. That he'd make deaf people hear and blind people see. That the rulers of the earth would come against him. That he would speak in parables. That he'd come into Jerusalem as a king, riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. That he'd be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. That he'd be accused by false witnesses, that he'd be accused and afflicted, and yet he would not open up his mouth in reply. He'd be struck on his head with a rod, that he'd be numbered with transgressors, he'd be crucified with criminals, that he would hang on a tree as a curse for us. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent, so would he be lifted up. That his hands and his feet would be pierced, told us that before crucifixion was ever invented. That he'd be wounded for our transgressions, that he would pray for his enemies even in the midst of being executed, in which he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. That they would divide his garments and cast lots for them, that he would thirst, even his tongue sticking to the roof of his mouth during the execution, but that gall and vinegar would be offered to him. That he'd be the Passover lamb and that not one of his bones would be broken. Therefore, the soldiers did not break his legs. That he'd have his side pierced, that he'd be buried with the rich, that he would rise from the dead, and that he would conquer death from his resurrection. All of these things were told to us beforehand and many more. And we're told that he told us these things before it happened so that when it came to pass that we might believe that Christ is the Messiah. And I hopefully, if you've been here throughout the last five sermons, it is so clear that God has determined these things to take place and has directed them. Details that are given that are so clear, that are so perfect, and seeing the fulfillment happen exactly the way that he said, even though it was written over 1,000 years beforehand, these things come to about exactly 30 pieces of silver, gall and vinegar offered to him, crucifixion created and his hands pierced, feet pierced. They go to see if he's dead, and he's already dead, so they don't break his legs, thus fulfilling not one of his bones be broken. But they take a spear and pierce his side, and it tells us in Zechariah that he would be pierced. All of it, the details of it, all of it coming about exactly the way that God said that it was going to happen, so that we would be at a place of looking at it now and say, without a doubt, Christ is the Messiah and the Bible is the Word of God. I don't know how else you could explain it. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of prophecies all pointing ahead to Christmas. All that you see from the law and the prophets, from the psalmist, the wisdom literature, it is all pointing to Christ and pointing to Christmas in just absolutely incredible detail so that you would be able to read these things and look and say, without a doubt, Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is God, and He came to earth, and He died on the cross for our sins. It was told to us far before so that we would know that when it happened, that Christ, in fact, is the Messiah. It's undeniable for anybody looking upon these things, and yet for so many people, their hearts are so hard that they look at these things and say there has to be some other explanation. Even though the Bible was clearly written over 1,600 years on three different continents in three different languages by 40 different authors, all pointing towards Christ coming in His death and His resurrection. And yet there's those that look and say, must be some other explanation. The details that are given are so intense. They're so perfect. It's something where, I mean, from exactly how they're going to divide His garments up and cast lots for them. Before crucifixion was ever created, saying, they look and they stare at me. Before crucifixion was ever created, they pierced me. My tongue sticks to the top of my mouth. I thirst. They offered me gall and vinegar to drink. The details of it all just laid out to where you look upon it saying there's no other explanation unless they just went through and summarized all these things and then put it into the New Testament. And yet, the disciples died for their faith. Seems like an absurd lie to die for and have your family die for. Not only that, but how many within the early church died for their faith? Not only that, but nobody went about saying, no, that's not true. That's not how it happened. They all affirmed these things to happen that way. And yet their hearts were just incredibly hard towards the gospel. We come to Acts chapter 3, and now the resurrection has occurred. The ascension has taken place. Peter has been restored, and John is there with them. They're friends. They were the ones that ran to the tomb together, and they saw that the body wasn't there, and together they also saw Him appear to them over and over again after He rose again from the dead. And so now they're going and they're proclaiming the gospel. We come to Acts chapter 3, and Peter and John, they go up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go in the temple asked for alms. Now, the next chapter tells us that this man's 40 years old. So for 40 years, he has been unable to walk. 40 years. 40 years, his legs have just not worked at all. It's his dear brother that's in Mitigo, Uganda, and his legs don't work. Years ago, Safe Harbor made a bicycle for him that you can sit on and pedal with your arms, and it changed everything for this man. I mean, it changed everything for him. He just would scoot himself with his hands and drag his legs behind him, and now he's got a He's got a little bicycle that the pedals are up high, and he uses his hands to move himself around. A dear brother, he loves Christ. But when I read the story, I picture him. This man just dragging himself, just trying to pull himself across the rocks, across the dirt. Friends taking him and picking him up, and the only way that he can make a living is to beg. And so they would take him. They would take him to the temple and put him in front of the gate called Beautiful and say, here, you can stay here all day. And so he would stay there all day, and people would come and they would give him money maybe. But that is what he lived off of. That's how he ate. That's how he survived. This man had been doing that for 40 years. For 40 years, he was the one that looked at everybody else and watched them walk, and yet he could never participate. He could never walk. He always saw himself as different. And he probably always wondered why. Well, he sees Peter and John, and he asks them for some alms, for some help. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Can you even imagine this scene? Here's this man, he has been unable to walk for 40 years, and Peter says, look at me. And he looks, thinking that he's going to get some money, and he says, silver and gold have I none. Don't have money. But what I have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And this man hears this, and Peter goes and he grabs his hand and he picks him up, and something happens to this man's feet and his ankles. They change radically to where he stands up, and it says that he starts walking and he's leaping and he's praising God. There's this joy that's inside of him as far as nothing that he has ever experienced before. It's not what he expected when they picked him up and dropped him off at that gate called Beautiful. And yet here comes Peter and John. Not in their own power, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They say, rise up and walk. I pictured the leaping taking place. It's not like some faith healers do it today where it's, okay, you're healed, but you're going to have to go through a lot of therapy from this point on. He's just healed. He's healed. He gets up, he starts leaping. And he's praising God. And it says that, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Everybody knew this guy. They all saw him. He was always there. And they're all just amazed at the fact that this guy's walking and he's leaping. They're looking at him saying, I know that's the guy. I know that that's him. We just saw this happen. And he stood up and he's walking. Verse 11 says, now as a lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the 12, or to the people, I'm sorry, responded to the people. And so here's his sermon. Here's Peter. This lame man's there, and he's holding on to them, not because he needs strength to stand up. No, he's already walked and leapt. But he's holding on to him because he is so thankful. So Peter says to the men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Men of Israel, why is this amazing to you? Or why look so intently as us, as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? Why are you amazed at this? And why are you looking at us like we did it? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of y'all. Why are you amazed at this? It's not us that did it. It is Christ who did it. The one that you crucified. When everybody was saying, give us Barabbas, when you were offered Christ to let him go, when you were urged to, and you said, no, give us Barabbas. That one, the Prince of Life, the one that you killed, it's in his name that this man stands here sound and walking. Goes on. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. All that we have been looking at the last 5 weeks, saying, this is what it says in the law, and this is what it says in the prophets. The details that have been given, he's saying all of it has been fulfilled. That by his stripes we would be healed, that he'd be pierced, that his head would be hit with a rod, that they would pluck out his beard and spit upon him, that all would stand around and stare at him. This one in whom was born in Bethlehem was called a Nazarene, and it came out of Egypt. This one who would be born of a virgin, the one in whom an angel appeared to the shepherds, and the one who had the kings come and bring him gifts, just like we were told beforehand would take place. This one who had to suffer, he has thus fulfilled. He is the Christ. He fulfilled all of these things. He's the one that it's in his name that we called for this man to stand up and to walk, and he did. And so he has their attention. He's preaching to all these people, and they're listening, and their minds are coming to a place of seeing this man walking and now looking and seeing what took place with Christ and seeing that it has all been fulfilled, and God is doing a work in that place that is just absolutely amazing. There's people who are there, and they had just watched Christ die upon the cross, and they were the ones that were yelling, crucify him, crucify him. Or they're the ones that were saying, give us Barabbas. And now they're there and they're listening to this, and he's saying, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Repent. be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Radical. He's talking with his people, repent, therefore, and be converted. Believe upon him. You crucified him, but it was all foretold that these things would happen. Therefore, repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that they might just be removed from you, all of your sins, that they might be blotted out. So that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your father, with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from your iniquities. He just goes and immediately in the midst of this sermon goes and starts talking about what we've been talking about for the last 5 weeks. Going through and just saying, it was all foretold. All of it was foretold. To Moses. Through Samuel. Through Abraham. When it said, and in you all the seed, and in your seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. Christ is the seed. Here's his lineage. This is his family tree. It goes, and it goes from Adam all the way through to Christ. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed by what that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Oh, they're radical. They're hearing this message. They've seen this man stand up and walk and start leaping and praising God. They hear the message of Peter as he preaches to them and says, this is the fulfillment of everything that had been said before. And he rose again from the dead as he said that he would rise again from the dead, and we're witnesses to it. And the people heard. And 5,000 people believed. 5,000. 5,000 people were converted that day. Just prior to that, we see that there was 3,000 people that were converted at the end of Acts chapter 2. God is doing just an absolutely incredible work in people's hearts, because he had written these things beforehand so that when it came to pass that they might know that he is the Christ, and they believed. And there was 5,000 people that left that place with hearts that had been changed. Their eyes had been opened. They started searching the scriptures and just seeing Christ in them all. Absolutely convinced that he is the Messiah, as he said, that he rose again from the dead. And we see Christ appearing to over 5,000 people. You look and he appears to these hundreds of people. You see him appear to the disciples. There's no doubt in their mind that he is the Lord. It's neat because you look and they tell them not to speak anymore in the name of Christ. Peter says these people, rulers and of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So at this point, they're forbidden to name the name of Jesus. Tells us that seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, verse 14, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. And so they called and commanded them not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done, for the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Such great confidence with Peter and John. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You do it to us whatever you want to do. We cannot help but to speak the things which we have seen and heard. They had seen him. They had seen him die on the cross. They had seen him rise again from the dead. He appeared to them. He appeared to them on several occasions. He appeared to over 500 people at one time. And there is no doubt in their minds that Christ had risen again from the dead. It was all laid out in Scripture. All of it. And so in John 13, verse 19, the text that we have surrounded ourselves with over the last five sermons, says this, now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. It's Christmas morning, and I pray that there would be such joy in our hearts of knowing that Christ, who was born this day in which we celebrate, is Christ the Lord. He has made it so clear through all of the prophet saying, this will be a sign. This will be a sign. This is what you'll see. And it has all been fulfilled. Hundreds of them. And I pray that our hearts would be so filled with joy in knowing that he has the ability by his grace and through the work on the cross to take our sins and blot them away. Make it so we can spend eternity with him.
Is there any better news than that? And so we have this gift that was given to us when Adam and Eve fell, opened a little bit at a time until Christmas morning comes and it gets opened and we see God with us. We look at the cross and we see his death and then we see his resurrection and the gift is open to us to where we look and we see that there is salvation in no other than in him. And for all eternity, we'll continue to look at the gift of Christ and experience more and more of the joy that comes with the greatest gift that God could have ever given us, and that is the gift of his Son, who would be the one who would save us. And so for all eternity, we'll look back to the gift of his Son on Christmas and praise him. Just as my little boy was looking ahead to Christmas, like the prophets, so did they. Now we look back to it and say, it's the greatest gift we could have ever possibly received. Let's praise him for it this morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Christmas. Thank you so much, Father, for sending us your Son. Thank you for laying it out in Scripture so clearly that we would know that you are he. We would know that you are the Messiah. You spoke things and they happened. Christ, you told us that you would die and rise again 3 days later. And it happened just as you said it would. You put it on the hearts of prophets to write these things hundreds and hundreds, if not over 1,000 years before. Them writing, not even knowing exactly what they're writing, but just writing something that is just a little bit of the picture of the gift of your Son, so that when it came about, we could see you were talking about Christ, our Lord. Lord, I pray that there would be such great confidence in us as we celebrate Christmas, knowing that you are our Messiah. And Lord, I pray also that if there's people who are here that don't know you, that they would consider the 5,000 that were there when Peter preached this sermon and they heard this and they believed and they were converted and their sins were blotted out because it was so clear to them as your Holy Spirit just changed their hearts, took the scales off their eyes. It was so clear to them that you are the Messiah. Lord, I pray that there wouldn't be one person that leaves our church this morning without being fully convinced that you are the Messiah and you died on the cross for our sins and that whosoever believes in you will not perish but have everlasting life. What a great salvation we have, and we praise you for it. I pray that the rest of our day would be filled with so much joy as we think upon you and as we worship you. We're thankful for Christmas, Lord. Thankful for our church and on the families that you've brought here. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.